It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT. On 100.1 FM, it is your public radio station. Broadcasting from Signal Hill, right in the middle of Kodiak, where it is, according to Windy and Sail Drone, 31 degrees with a 9 mph wind from the west. Although the Weather Service insists it's 24 degrees. Seems like it more like 31 to me. Maybe NOAA will update during the broadcast. Coming up on your midday news, a bit of a non-update from the Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization. The city of Kodiak takes another step toward possibly annexing neighboring service areas. And Dylan Simard brings us a story about dance in the time of COVID. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The White House is releasing a recorded farewell from President Donald Trump just as the successor, to whom he still refuses to concede the election, arrives in Washington, D.C. this hour. As NPR's Mara Liasson reports, President-elect Joe Biden is preparing to take the oath of office tomorrow in a ceremony that will be held without the traditionally large inauguration crowds because of a coronavirus pandemic and the threat of more violence since the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Everything about this transfer of power is unusual. It's the first time in American history where we haven't had a peaceful transfer of power. There was a violent attempt to stop the transfer of power at the Capitol. This is also going to be the first time since Andrew Johnson that an outgoing president has not attended the inauguration of his successor.
NPR's Mara Liasson. The National Mall will be closed to the public. It has been for a while now. As many as 25,000 National Guard troops will be in place to protect Washington, D.C. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is criticizing President Trump and his supporters for fueling the attack on the U.S. Capitol. NPR's Kelsey Snell reports the unusually direct criticism from McConnell comes one day before Democrats take control of the U.S. Senate.
Majority Leader McConnell has spent much of the past 4 years carefully avoiding direct confrontation with Trump. But the mob insurrection that forced lawmakers out of the Capitol earlier this month has deeply split the GOP in their reactions. McConnell placed responsibility with Trump.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
McConnell will lose his majority tomorrow when two Democrats from Georgia, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, are sworn in, and after the inauguration of President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Kelsey Snell, NPR News, Washington.
Biden says his top priority when he takes office tomorrow is to steer the country out of the coronavirus pandemic. Adding to the urgency, today, Johns Hopkins University's latest count, the death toll from COVID-19 has surpassed 400,000. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris are taking part in a ceremony on the National Mall tonight in honor of the men, women, and children in the United States who've died from COVID-19.
The vigil will be held along the Lincoln Memorial's reflecting pool, which will be illuminated with 400 lights to represent the hundreds of thousands of lives lost to COVID-19. In a moment of unity, iconic landmarks, including the Empire State Building in New York City and the Space Needle in Seattle, will also be lit up. Other cities say they'll take part in tonight's memorial with the ringing of church bells.
That's NPR's Windsor Johnston reporting. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has closed up 116 points. This is NPR.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
The city of Kodiak took another step toward the possible annexation of neighboring service areas last week when the City Council authorized a contract with UAA's Institute of Social and Economic Research, or ICER, to examine the impact of annexation.
Will annexation have a positive, negative, or even a neutral fiscal effect on these areas and the city? And what changes to taxes would be needed? Well, that's what ICER hopes to find out. The study will take ICER several months to complete, but City Council member John Whitten thinks the contract is a worthwhile investment.
As we've discussed in the past, discussed in our work session, I think this also will open the doors to better collaboration with the federal government. I think this will be a means to do that. So this will give us some documentation, some, I think, solid facts that we can use to move forward in an informed way. So,
the $35,000 contract will also provide the city a report on how annexation meets the guidelines of the Local Boundary Commission, the state government department that oversees how Alaska municipalities are formed. The area of annexation interest includes Kodiak Service Area 1, where many residents already receive and pay for some city services, such as water and sewer. Service Area 1 is home to nearly 3,000 residents, and if annexed, would make the city of Kodiak one of the largest cities in Alaska. For KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jared Griffin.
Dance is typically the sort of skill taught in person, but atypical times call for atypical solutions. And so, in the face of the COVID pandemic, Next Step Dance Kodiak brought their dance instruction online.
Last spring, we had to go all online over the course of 1 week of spring break. And I had already had experience with Zoom. And so when the school district closed down, we converted everything to go online via Zoom. So the TV's up in our classrooms at the studio and teachers mic'd, and it was a learning experience.
That's Mary Beth Lowen, owner of Next Step Dance. She says that they've been able to have limited in-person classes, but have hybridized them to be as safe as possible.
We took a summer and we fully wired and updated and fitted out the studio. And now we say all of our classes are hybrid. So if we are able to have students in the studio, wonderful. They're spaced out. We have colored tape. I always say it's our Candyland floor. We have colored tape all over the floor to mark out squares where the students can be. And so they're at least 6 feet apart from each other. In our big studio, they actually are 10 feet apart. And we use different colors of tape to help the kids learn, like red is on the right and yellow is on the left. So we can help learn right and left and downstage and upstage with the different colors. All of our teachers, even when they're teaching in person, wear Bluetooth microphones, and that was one big learning curve for me, actually, like learning how to set up audio mixers and projectors and integrate into Spotify.
Lowen admits openly that the transition has been difficult, but says that with the right attitude, any challenge is surmountable.
It's much easier when you're in person, of course. I think any kind of teaching, whether it's classroom in the school or teaching piano, is easier in person. I know myself and my team of amazing teachers, they are always up for when I say, we're going to try this new thing that we've never done before, and if other people can do it, we're going to do it. We're going to figure it out.
Those interested in learning more or simply getting some exercise in at home can do so at nextstepdancekodiak.com. The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization was unable to provide an update on the COVID-19 case count locally today after skipping the Monday update in observance of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. An update on local hospitalizations was provided, and there are no people in the hospital right now due to COVID-19. The COVID-19 case count update from Saturday, the most recent available, reported 4 new cases, including 1 community transmission case and 3 close contact cases. That brought the case count associated with the Kodiak Island Borough to 997 cases since the start of the pandemic, with 40 cases being classified as active today. To date, there have been a total of 40 hospitalizations and 5 deaths locally due to COVID-19. A draft federal land management plan for the central Yukon area of Alaska is out for public comment. The Bureau of Land Management document and an accompanying environmental impact statement apply to over 13 million acres of BLM-managed lands scattered across 56 million acres of the interior, from Galena to along the Dalton Highway. KUAC's Dan Bros has this report.
Produced in cooperation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and numerous tribal councils, the BLM proposed management framework replaces plans developed back in the 1980s and 90s. BLM project manager Michelle Ethan highlights key portions of the plan that affect the public.
Areas that we would open or close to mineral entry, that's of importance for a lot of folks. We have some off-highway vehicle classifications, and I know, you know, for a lot of users, they're interested in that. They may want to look in the range of alternatives and see if we had any timing limitations or seasonal limitations that would impact their ability to get places. We also tried to list some management objectives relative to dall sheep habitat, caribou habitat, as well as riparian areas. And that's probably pretty important for folks to understand.
Five general management options are considered in the new plan, spanning from more conservation to more development-oriented. Ethan says the preferred alternative is toward the development end and eliminates areas of critical environmental concern.
Except for the Tulik Lake Research Natural Area, but it does carry forward some wildlife-specific habitat management objectives and some riparian area habitat management objectives. And also recreation objectives.
One specific change in the new plan involves lands along the Dalton Highway, originally set aside for utility and transportation. Ethan says under the plan, some of those lands would be freed up.
There's two portions of that public land order. One is the outer corridor, one is the inner corridor. The outer corridor doesn't have any of those uses and hasn't had any of those uses since 1971. So in the range of alternatives and in the preferred alternative, that portion we would recommend it doesn't need to be reserved for that purpose and could be managed for other things.
Ethan adds that some Dalton Highway Corridor lands have been selected by the state of Alaska and if conveyed to it could have a range of impacts, including to subsistence management. She emphasizes that the planning and EIS document is large and complex and the BLM has created a website to help the public navigate it. There will also be a series of six online public meetings beginning January 26th, some of which are prioritized to gather input from specific communities. The deadline for comment on the Central Yukon Plan and EIS is March 11th. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Alaska lawmakers adopted a proposal yesterday that would allow legislators to vote remotely through the same digital voting board as those in the Capitol building. The Legislative Council, which oversees legislative business when the legislature isn't in session, approved up to $74,000 to implement a new emergency remote voting system just one day ahead of the new session. The legislature's current rules require that all lawmakers be present in each chamber to vote. The council's action would pay for a new system, but for the system to be implemented, lawmakers would have to change the rules after they've organized for this session. The new system would allow lawmakers to vote from the regional legislative information offices or from their homes if they are quarantined or isolated. Legislative staff estimate it would take 30 days to build a new remote voting system. However, staff say it could take less time to prepare a temporary solution that would allow some legislators to vote from outside of the Capitol building. In other business, the council amended the legislature's temporary safety rules to allow one news reporter to sit in a gallery during floor sessions. The council previously barred all news reporters. The safety rules could be changed again after the Senate and the House have chosen their presiding officers. On Monday, Governor Mike Dunleavy appointed Ed Sniffen as Alaska's Attorney General. Sniffen has been the acting Attorney General since August, when former Attorney General Kevin Clarkson resigned. Sniffen began working for the Department of Law in 2000 and has served as Senior Attorney General in the Consumer Protection Unit, as well as Deputy Attorney General and other senior positions. In a statement, Dunleavy said, "Sniffen has a long and proven record of leadership within the Department of Law." Sniffen graduated from law school in 1988. He then practiced law in Anchorage, focusing on natural resources, environmental, labor and employment, maritime, and employment law. Sniffen said in an announcement that he is honored and looking forward to the work. Alaska's former Attorney General, Kevin Clarkson, resigned following reporting from the Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica that revealed Clarkson had sent more than 500 texts to a younger female staff worker. The appointment is subject to approval from the legislature in a joint session. Four employees at the Trident Seafoods processing plant in Acatan have tested positive for coronavirus, the company said in a press release Monday. The plant has about 700 employees on Acatan Island in the Aleutian chain. The Seattle Times reported that the four employees who tested positive were roommates. They tested negative for the virus before flying to Acatan and had completed a 14-day quarantine upon arrival. The Acatan plant is the largest processing plant that Trident operates in Alaska and is a closed campus where employees are not allowed to be in contact with other island residents. Stephanie Moreland, spokesperson for Trident, said the company will conduct an investigation to find out how positive cases appeared on the Acatan campus. Moreland added that these are the first known positive cases occurring in a Trident processing facility in Alaska. An employee at the Red Dog Mine died during an incident at a production drill, mine operators say. In a release Sunday, officials with Tech Alaska, the operators of the mine, say the 47-year-old employee died on Saturday. Tech said no other employees or contractors were injured and that, quote, there is no ongoing safety or environmental risk, unquote. A spokesman for Tech said the Federal Mining Safety and Health Administration is investigating the incident and that the only information they could provide was that the employee was male. A major employee in the Northwest Arctic Borough, Red Dog Mine is the largest zinc mine in the world, located about 90 miles north of Kotzebue.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Hatcheries are incompatible in state parks, say state officials. Comments are wanted. More after this.
The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute works to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. Learn more at alaskaseafood.org.
Hatcheries are an incompatible use in state parks, claims the Department of Natural Resources, and a push is on to close the Tutka Bay Hatchery in Kachemak Bay near Homer. It's one of three hatcheries operated by the Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association, which has produced mostly sockeye and pink salmon for commercial, sport, subsistence, and personal use fisheries. DNR intends to adopt a new Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park Management Plan that would close Tutka Bay due to legal concerns over its 20-year operating agreement, saying only short-term permits are issued. Funding through catching and selling salmon called cost recovery also is a concern, DNR's Monica Alvarez said at a public hearing. The Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation will be tasked with adopting the new plan. That means Division Director Ricky Geese can make the final call. Geese, a Dunleavy appointee, was a former head of the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association and for years pushed for the removal of the region's hatcheries. Alvarez said that Geese has nothing to do with the state park concerns, although KBBI reports his testimony was incorporated into the new plan. Meanwhile, Representative Sarah Vance of Homer has pre-filed a bill that would declare the Tutka Bay hatchery an allowed activity within state lands.
That will protect hatcheries in general and allow state parks to continue with their regulation to respect what they're doing, but ensure that the hatcheries will not be subject to political pressures or political whims through every administration.
Public comments are accepted through January 22nd. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 19th day of January, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 9:35 a.m. and set again at 5:07 p.m., giving us 7 hours and 32 minutes of precious daylight. That is a gain of 3 minutes and 40 seconds compared to yesterday. The local tides, we have one coming up, a low tide at 12:10. Strike that, we just had a low tide at 12:10 here on the east side of 2.6 feet. Our next high tide will be at 5:58 this evening of 6.4 feet. And our low tide for midnight will be at 12:07 a.m., 1.7 feet. High tide tomorrow morning on the east side will be at 6:49 a.m. and be 7.5 feet. Over on the west side, and these are Euganic Pass tides, you have a low tide coming up at 12:48 this afternoon. It's going to be a 3.66 foot tide, followed by a high tide at 6:36 p.m. of 11.5 feet. Your low tide for after midnight will be at 12:49 a.m., 3.3 feet, and your high tide for tomorrow morning on the west side will occur at 7:11 a.m. and be 12.8 feet. Well, the Weather Service is now saying it's 27 degrees here in Kodiak, which seems more reasonable. We're looking for a slight chance of snow before 1 p.m., then rain after that. Mostly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high near 41. I don't know if we're going to get there. For tonight, look for rain before 10 p.m., then showers, mainly between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Low of about 34 tonight. South wind to 20 miles per hour will turn to the west after midnight and could gust as high as 30. For tomorrow, look for isolated showers before 7 a.m. Sunny skies tomorrow with a high near 41, they're saying. West wind to 20 miles per hour will turn to the southeast and go to 10 miles per hour, but could gust as high as 25 tomorrow. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A 990 millibar low over Prince William Sound will weaken as it moves inland Tuesday morning. A North Pacific low 130 nautical miles southeast of Sand Point will go to 983 millibars on Tuesday evening and move to 80 nautical miles east of Kodiak City and go to 1,000 millibars on Wednesday morning, then dissipate by Wednesday evening. A front will cross the southwestern Gulf through Thursday morning. Result of that, Marmon Island to Sitkanak, Kodiak's east side offshore, gale warning through tonight. West wind to 35 knots right now. We'll turn to the south. Seas to 16 feet. For tonight, southeast wind to 35 knots, seas to 18 feet. Should build to 24 feet tonight on our east side. For tomorrow, look for west wind to 30 knots, turning to the southwest and going to 20 knots tomorrow afternoon. Seas to 21 feet tomorrow. And for Wednesday night, look for south wind to 30 knots, seas coming down to 16 feet. Over on our west side, the Shelikof Strait, gale warning today, southwest wind 35 knots, becoming southeast 20 knots this afternoon. Seas to 8 feet, should subside to 4 feet this afternoon. Freezing spray today in the Shelikof. For tomorrow, look for west winds to 20 knots, becoming south tomorrow afternoon. Seas to 5 feet, should subside to 3 feet tomorrow afternoon in the Shelikof. And for tomorrow night, southeast wind to 25 knots, seas to 5 feet on the west side. Inside waters, Chiniac and Marmot Bays. Chiniac Bay, small craft advisory tonight, south wind to 20 knots, seas to 4 feet. Tonight, southeast wind 25 knots, seas building to 9 feet. For tomorrow, look for west wind to 20 knots, becoming southwest 10 knots tomorrow afternoon in Chiniac Bay, seas to 5 feet. Up in Marmot Bay, small craft advisory through tonight. West wind to 30 knots will become southeast 20 knots this afternoon. Seas to 7 feet should subside to 4 feet this afternoon in Marmot Bay. For tonight, southeast wind to 30 knots, seas building to 10 feet. For tomorrow, west wind to 20 knots, seas to 4 feet in Marmot Bay. Kodiak City Council will hold a planning meeting this coming Saturday, January 23rd. The meeting will begin at 9 a.m. Public participation for this meeting will be virtual. For everyone's protection, there will be no public in-person attendance for this meeting in compliance with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's guidance on social distancing and gathering. The meeting will be web-streamed, though, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. For those who wish to request printed materials or have questions regarding the meeting, please contact the clerk's office at 486-8636. The poetry readings begin tomorrow. Are you a lover of poetry, or do you enjoy reading or listening to poetry? 5 readers have volunteered for the first readings starting tomorrow at 6 p.m. You just need to tune in to the Zoom link to hear a few poems. If you're interested in reciting a poem or two, contact Miss Ani at 486-8683, and she can get you signed up for future poetry readings held every third Wednesday of the month through April. Another note, the library will be closed on Monday, January 18th, and that's already happened. Can you help Kodiak read 1 million minutes by March 31st? The library urges community members to log their minutes spent reading to achieve this goal by March 31st. What better way to start the new year than to cozy up with inspiring books and log the minutes you read? There are different challenges for different ages and interests. Sign up for the Beanstack Reading Challenge by calling the library at 486-8686 if you need help logging in. The Kodiak Archipelago Cooperative Weed Management Area meeting is happening next Tuesday, January 26th. The Kodiak Archipelago CWMA is a partnership between different entities and landowners to manage invasive plants on all the islands of Kodiak. Invasive species can threaten wildlife and fish habitat, poison livestock, and degrade ecosystems. The meeting is free and everyone's welcome. And they say, let's protect our natural resources and native habitat together. For more information and to receive a Zoom link, email Danielle Butts, that's Danielle, Butts at KodiakSoilAndWater.org. Let's see, more from the public library. They will be closed on Saturday for city staff meetings. Curbside and reference services will still be available. And just a reminder, the library does offer home delivery for those of you unable to get out of the house, as well as curbside pickup at the side door. Call the library for this service Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Kodiak Public Library is also available by appointment for in-person visits. That's Monday through Friday at 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. for 90-minute visits each day. All must wear masks and follow social distancing guidelines. And for more information about any of these programs, call the library at 486-8686 or look them up at the library Facebook page and the Kodiak Public Library website. Kodiak Island Borough meetings coming up. Happening tomorrow, January 20th, the Bayview Road Service Area Board meeting is happening at the Bayside Fire Hall. That's happening at 6 p.m. On Thursday, the 21st, the Assembly is having their regular meeting via teleconference at 6:30 p.m., and you'll need to check the Borough website to find out how to link to that. On Saturday, the 23rd, the Bayside Fire Hall again. The Fire Protection Area Number 1 is having a work session at 9 p.m. Again, that's 9 p.m. Saturday at the Bayside Fire Hall, Fire Protection Area Number 1 work session. On Monday, the 25th, via teleconference, the Architectural Review is having a board meeting. That's happening at 5:30 p.m. Monday, the 25th. That, again, is via teleconference. And the Assembly is having a work session on Thursday, January 28th at 6:30. All those meetings are by teleconference, and you want to go to the Borough website to find out how to link. The KMXT Board of Directors held their meeting, or holding their meeting tonight, 6 p.m. via Zoom. If you'd like to sit in on the meeting, please call the station at 486-3181 or send an email requesting access to gm@kmxt.org, and we'll send you a link before the meeting. Again, that's happening tonight, 6 p.m. via Zoom, gm@kmxt.org.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181.
Fax us at 486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.